This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Fan Run Radio.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate football time in Tennessee.
As an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. The type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. There's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
But Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
Dang it, Bobby.
Excited to run out of the tunnel and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't say.
We can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Winning Wednesday edition of the program.
For some.
Not for others. I mean,
he's going to do the thing where he doesn't talk for the first segment now.
I got to authorize the bridge. I was going to let you get into the topic a little bit.
Okay.
Don't mind if we do.
Presbyterian College. Get out of here.
Buddy, no. I'm a little upset.
What are you mad about?
Do you remember what I told you the over-under was?
Oh, no.
130 and a half.
You bet on this game?
You know what the total was?
What?
130. Really needed a free throw or a bucket from Fleshman. Didn't get it. It's okay. Felt like a safe bet, especially when we started banging in all those threes. I thought, oh, this is easy. Mm-hmm. But the defense was too good.
Ah, yeah.
The defense. We didn't even allow 50 points. Did their, who's their dude, their really good scorer? He has like 21 a game. He didn't do much, did he? They didn't have a score in double digits.
I don't remember. It's hard for me to get up for this game, Chris.
What do you mean?
We
won by 42 points.
No, I just mean it was 7 o'clock. I was excited about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else really on my schedule. And I turned it on, started watching, and it's just hard to stay engaged. I don't know why. I mean, I guess because...
What are you, a coward?
I'm excited about, you know, some of the games coming up.
Looking towards Colorado, huh?
I was looking ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking. It's a good thing I don't play for the team.
I was going to say, I'm glad the players weren't doing that.
Yeah. I think they did that against Tennessee Tech.
They might. Yeah, they were looking ahead to Presbyterian. You're probably right. Good point by you.
Yeah.
Good point.
Where was Presbyterian again?
South Carolina.
Clinton, South Carolina.
It was South Carolina, okay.
Yep. Home of that coach that either wins by 40 or loses by
70.
Doesn't
punt. Mm. Yeah. Onside kick overtime.
I don't think he had a very good year. It was year one.
He had some really good games, and then
we had some games where I had like a great half.
Right.
And then
like up 40 and then lost.
It's like all or nothing, yeah.
Live by the sword, die by the sword, I always say.
I'm not sure about his philosophy of three guys need to touch the football on every
play.
That's
weird. Yeah, that's weird. What was his study was like, oh, trick plays work a lot if three players touch it. And it's like, well, yeah, they're also a trick play. Yeah. But if you run only those, you know.
I do think teams should lateral the ball more.
Flag football style?
I mean, it's risky, but.
The reward.
Yeah. Whew. I mean, if you train your guys well to only, you know, make it a certain. You just can't do that. You can't do that thing where we used to do this to these poor teams. Like, their first flag football game, you know, they're new to the league. They're excited about it. First completion over the middle, and one of our guys will be like, pitch! And they'll just throw it right to them.
Oh, they yell. You yell it to the other team?
The other team, like, yeah, pitch.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little too much.
Is that dirty?
Yeah, it's a little dirty.
Like going down with a cramp right as the other team gets the first down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It only happens once. It happens to everybody, you know. Every team goes through it.
I don't think I ever did that.
It's a ritual. No, you threw it right to me on your first pass.
That was a different league. I wasn't talking about that league. I wasn't even supposed to play quarterback. I had transitioned to receiver. I was having a great season. And then was it Alan Brock? Hit me. My arm dislocated. I was done for the day. Bad. Flag football, and I get a dislocated shoulder.
I don't remember that.
I do. I remember.
You threw that pick before you got hit. It's like the first play of the game.
No, this was the next drive.
Oh. Gotcha.
I'll give you. You stepped in front of the slant. It was good. It was a good read by you. It was a good read.
You know,
I blame the receiver. He really didn't cut the route.
It's all about positioning, craftiness.
He didn't cut the route sharp enough.
Why do we always talk about Davey? We should talk about me getting graded out with the teens in coverage.
I've seen him have an interception at linebacker.
Probably get negative numbers in a run sport in an SEC football game.
I think he'd be all right. I think you'd be all right.
My dad led the state in interceptions his junior year.
Nice.
Wow. At middle linebacker.
Oh, wow. So
back in the
pedigree
day.
Today.
Oh,
yeah, it runs in the blood
part
type
of the,
thing.
Part of
yeah.
the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. It's like horse racing, you know. Oh, his dad was.
Too hot to trot.
Yeah.
This is too hot to trot junior.
Uh-huh. The pairing of, you know, this one, that one.
It's the pairing.
Ho-hum win last night for the Vols.
Yeah, they took care of business. Covered the spread. Did not hit the over.
Mm.
But that's okay. Things happen.
Victor Bailey Jr. got the start?
Yeah. Maybe for the last time, because Justin Powell needs to be out there shooting a lot.
Five of six from the floor. Five from three.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Five from three.
21 minutes, 15 points, all from behind the arc. Three rebounds, three assists, no turnovers.
Any steals?
Don't think so.
What?
No steals.
Like you said, ho-hum game, ho-hum opponent, took care of business. Dabunje got in, hit a three. Adu had a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Just
26 minutes for Kenny Chandler was the max, so, you know.
Hey, we got some depth. We rotate. We're going to be nice and fresh as long as he doesn't run them too hard in practice.
So, what did he say anything about Triple J after the game?
He doesn't think it'll need surgery.
Okay.
But it.
So, we're out officially because of the finger now, not the flu. Because at first
yes,
that was.
Finger.
That was vague.
Finger.
First game we missed. Okay.
Ligament. Mm-hmm. Don't know how.
Popped a ligament in this knuckle right here.
Uh-huh.
See? Never the same.
Never the same.
Yeah.
I don't know how you've made it this far, really.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Let me know when you get to Booger's standpoint.
It's true. It's a good thing it was only flag football, not the real deal.
Booger's standpoint?
Booger
is
McFarlane's
fingers.
Fingers are.
Booger McFarlane.
Yeah.
Fingers.
How many other boogers do you know?
I don't know what booger's standpoint means. I didn't know if you were talking about a person or actual boogers. Like, it was very confusing. Be more.
Man, Nate picked it up right away.
Well, he knew what you were talking about.
Didn't
I did
think about it.
I would say I'm not alone. Hmm. Look, I know you're a little disheveled this morning.
I'm actually not.
No, he's fine. No, not a big deal. Right.
It was a humbling loss.
Yep. Humbling. We needed to, it had to happen. You know, humbling, all that. Shut up, Davey.
It was a rough day for the ACC and the Big Ten ACC tournament.
Go on.
Oh, Duke had a terrible second half. They ended up losing to Ohio State. Didn't come out and after halftime, and rightfully they lost the game. Couldn't get off that high. It's very reminiscent of Tennessee when they beat Memphis and jumped to number one and then lost to Vanderbilt the next game. You only had a short-lived time at the top. But these freshmen, Paolo didn't have that great
game. You said something about the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and now you've done nothing but talk about Duke. What happened in the challenge?
Oh, like the Big Ten just continued to win games.
Thank you. That's what I asked you about. You didn't go on your little Duke spiel. Making excuses for him. I figured
that's what
him.
You wanted to, no, you me said, to get to, so you could, I like, said, oh, I'm going to try to dunk on Dave.
No, I said, go on, because you said it wasn't a good night for the ACC. And I said, well, what do you mean? And then you just say Duke lost. Duke is not the ACC. It's an entire conference. But, yes, I saw at one point 0-4. How many games were there?
I don't know what they ended up getting to. There's more games tonight.
Oh, okay.
There'll be 14 when it's all said and done.
Well, I love it.
Indiana and Syracuse went to, like, double overtime.
I watched that entire second half. I thought, I mean, Syracuse had that game won. They were up, I think, 18 in the second half, and Indiana figured out that if they break the zone and then post-to-post, high-low pass, they can get easy dunks.
Yeah.
Hey,
well,
good job. So then it was just the middle of the zone kickouts. They were hitting threes, and Syracuse, two Boeheim boys? Are you kidding me? Do you know this?
No.
Buddy Boeheim.
I didn't watch him. Yeah.
And Jimmy the Third.
Oh, goodness.
Jimmy B the Third.
Wait.
Jimmy's okay. Younger?
Yeah, is that right?
No, I think he's older.
Okay.
But he's a grad transfer from, like, I don't know, Cornell, maybe?
He wasn't good enough for dad.
That's what I said.
First time around?
Well, son, I'm going to take Buddy. I know we didn't offer you a scholarship. But now he's there as a grad transfer, and they start and they play a lot. And they ended up winning because Indiana kept fouling.
Even John let Swag Calipari be on the team the first couple of years.
It was
the model fathers that those two are. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Ohio State 71, Duke 66, Purdue 93, Florida State 65, Syracuse 112, Indiana 110, Minnesota 54, Pittsburgh 53.
Ooh, no, thank you.
Wake Forest 77, Northwestern 73. So that's a win for the ACC. And finally, another Big Ten win, Rutgers 74, Clemson 64.
You want to talk about a close cover? That Wake Forest game?
So 4-1 for the Big Ten last night.
Line was minus 2.
No, sorry, 5-1.
Wake Forest is up 2, and then Northwestern with a second left, doesn't matter. Like, they ain't going to get another shot. They foul. And then dude from Wake hits the free throw to
It's nothing compared 3. To Vanderbilt hitting a Hail Mary on the last play of the half. Still burn up about that one.
My God, really?
Yeah.
He had the first half cover. It is a bad beat. Because the game had technically gone to
half. It said halftime. I walked into the kitchen.
I needed a free throw last night at any point in the 40 minutes of the basketball game to hit the over. Like, that's a bad beat.
Well, you can't look at it like that.
I can. I needed one more point. No. And then he brings in all the subs. And then Ziegler hits a three. DeBunja hits a three. I'm thinking, whoa, we're right here. And then we...
I feel like you're kind of lucky you even got, like, those threes there late. You know, you should be honored that
Yes, I was lucky that I got even more invested in my bet right before losing. That made a lot of sense, Dave.
Well, I mean,
I would much rather lose it by 10. Like, oh, yeah, it was
that's
never.
That's why I don't like betting basketball. I
always bet the over.
No.
Life's too short
It's a saying, Dave. I'm not literally saying that, but it was 130.
No, I'm just saying, like, this year, the NBA, the under is, like, hitting, like, 60% of the time.
Again, it's just a saying. I'm not being serious.
Okay.
I don't have a model. I just thought 130. Geez, surely it'll be going over that. But then we had that 5-minute scoring drought to start the second half. It happens.
You have a responsibility as a radio host to give pertinent information to your listeners. And whenever you just say always bet the over, if they don't catch that, kind of like you didn't understand that Booger's standpoint was talking about Booger McFarlane. You got to be clear on these things.
Standpoint was a weird word to go with.
Probably.
Booger's standpoint.
Yeah.
From Booger's standpoint.
Once you get to Booger's standpoint.
I don't think that was the exact phrase.
That is the exact phrase. What Booger's, you meant was, let me know when your hands start looking like Booger.
Situation would have been a better word, or status, or yeah, something. I don't know. Tonight, Louisville, Michigan State, Nebraska, NC State, Virginia Tech, Maryland, Wisconsin, Georgia Tech, Michigan, North Carolina, and Miami, Penn State.
College basketball feels pretty wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, right before they play Duke, everyone was, oh, is Gonzaga going to lose a game all season? Yeah. Then Duke takes care of them.
I'm guilty of that one myself.
Yeah, you're not alone. But it looks like quite a few teams on a given night with a chance to be, you know, worthy of the title.
What year did Indiana go undefeated? 70...
I can't remember.
You got to get that first loose out of the way. So good on Duke for doing that.
You do. You don't want to be like Kentucky and.
No, you don't.
Go 39-0 and then.
76.
Lose to Wisconsin.
76.
They might have been 38-1 at the end of the year. Hate to see it.
I don't. I'm starting to worry. I'm like, maybe Kentucky's pretty good, though. I mean, that was only, what, like an 8-point game? Kentucky's still ninth.
I wouldn't look too much into it. That was, again, people want to get onto Duke for not having a lot of road games. It was a good test for a young team.
Kentucky's 13th in the
KenPom. I was talking about Kentucky. What are you
Tennessee's
talking about?
Tennessee's
14th. You said they were close.
You just got to go right back.
I thought you were saying, based off Duke beating Kentucky and then Kentucky kind of being in these other games, I thought that was... where you were headed with it.
I was, but then you were just like, yeah, true road games for Duke. Like, it didn't make it. I get it. Last night was tough. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay?
I'm happy they lost.
He didn't even want to win the national championship.
Didn't
want to
go undefeated?
It's not about the mountain. It's about the climb, Dave.
Nah, you got to play the odds.
You got to overcome adversity. Play the odds?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You go undefeated, you get so much more pressure on you at the end of the year. Kind of like Kentucky did in 2015. Who ended up winning that national championship?
I really don't remember.
It was Duke. Kentucky is the best team, but Duke got hot at the right moment.
How about this Vols defense, though? 44 points for PC. I mean, come on.
Told you, the guy who was averaging 21 didn't even get double.
Schwarman defense.
I personally, I would have liked a little more offensive effort and maybe a little lack on the defense. But he was mad about last week, so yeah, he said defense. The fact that he scored 86 while focusing so much on the defensive end of the floor, pretty dang good. Man, we were 4 points short of what we had in the first half. If we'd have done that,
you're broken over this.
It's just I just couldn't believe how. I mean, that's scary. Like Vegas, are you kidding me? Wake up in the morning, it's 1:30 and a half. The total hits at 1:30. It got bet up to like 1:33 and a half. Sorry to all those people. Mm. No, the defense was good. Tennessee also protected the basketball, only 8 turnovers. They forced 25. Tennessee only had 7 fouls in the game.
All right.
14 of 27 from 3. Nate, that is 51.9%.
Oh, wow.
Going to be pretty tough to beat, in my estimation, if you can shoot above 50% from three. Just saying. Presbyterian went to the free throw line 3 times. It's amazing.
Play great defense.
Great defense.
Bad news. Check that Presbyterian football schedule. They went 2-9. Those first 2 wins were their only wins of the season.
Well, year they got
twos,
figured out.
Year 2 is when you really know if you got a good coach or not.
Good point by you, Davey.
Or apparently game 3.
Game three, they lost 72 to nothing.
He got figured out. The book is out. He's in big trouble. Speaking of big trouble, Lincoln Riley?
Yeah.
Might be.
Why is he in trouble?
Might be a little hot water, a little tampering, a little illegal recruiting activity already. What is it about Southern Cal? Coaches get that job, and it's just like, I can do whatever I want. I'm at Southern Cal.
So remember we talked about Cale Gundy being the recruiter for Oklahoma?
Sure.
Okay, so apparently he and Bob Stoops are like hitting the recruiting trail, you know, like keep the class together. Let's damage control.
It's not working.
Right, well.
At all.
Well, I don't think they'd hit the trail when the first wave decommitted.
God, yeah.
So they're you know, they're doing their best Kevin Steele impression.
Sure.
And then what's the other guy's name though?
Roy.
What did you say?
Roy. I can't think of his last name.
Anyway, there's a third guy, mystery guy, who will grab his name here in a second once you pull up the tweets, who's also recruiting with them, you know, presumably for Oklahoma, at least in their mind. But apparently not, Houston. Apparently he's in cahoots.
Roy Manning.
With Lincoln Riley.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying.
So
that's
the three
problem.
Of them are palling around. And
he's
and old Stoopsy and Cale Gundy are like, hey, you know, we got Bob Stoops right here, national championship winning guy. He's gonna, you know, bridge the gap here and get you to our next legendary coach we're gonna bring in. Don't you worry about it. Keep, you know, come to Oklahoma. There's a pick the school.
Oh, he's
the coach.
Trending. Roy Manning is trending.
Yada,
how
yada,
do we not
yada.
Know this?
And apparently Roy Manning is like slipping him little notes or calling him over into the hallway. Hey, I'm gonna go to USC. Come to USC.
So he went and visited California defensive back Damani Jackson as an Oklahoma coach.
Yeah.
Jackson has trimmed his list to Alabama and Southern Cal. And in the article discusses the great conversation he had with Coach Roy Manning.
Yeah.
About Southern Cal.
Southern Cal.
While he was wearing Oklahoma coaching gear.
Ooh, not good, Bob.
Oklahoma compliance tweeted out eyeballs, 100 emoji.
Mm.
What that means is we see it.
Oh, okay.
100%.
100%.
100% of the
we
time
see it all.
We see it every time. The all-seeing
eye. We're omnipotent.
Yes.
You're impotent, what?
Omnipotent. Let off and I'm reloading. Immediately with these rounds.
Is omnipotent all seeing or all knowing, though?
I think it's everywhere all the time. So you're all seeing and all knowing.
Oh, both.
Yeah.
All right. It's a good word.
As a radio host, you have an obligation to bring pertinent information to the listener, Davey Hudson, the same guy who does Davey's Depot. That's
you know, sometimes Captain people Touchback. Just need a laugh. And I give them joy. I'll do a depot today just for
Let's
that.
Let's not do that. No. I don't.
Hickman was begging for one the other day.
Well, you know what? You two can go out in the lobby and you can give Hickman his own personal depot.
You start a live stream or something on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That'd be perfect. No, that's what you guys need.
Depots are more enjoyable when Houston has to suffer through it.
I just don't listen.
Well, there's not going to be enough suffering today because someone forgot their nacho cheese.
Okay, I'm not used to having to grab cheese on my way out the door.
You already bought it. Just set it by the door. What are you doing? You could have put it in the car. It was like 30 degrees last night. It'd be fine. You'd be frozen.
I thought about that, but I was like, I don't want it to freeze. Cause
well, then we nuke it. You're good.
See, well, I even did set it by the door.
Mm.
I meant to grab it when I went out to start my car.
Yeah?
I came back in, brushed my teeth, threw some clothes on.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went back outside, completely ran past the cheese.
Ran right by the cheese.
Wait, you
like
went
a
outside
blind
and then
mouse.
You put your clothes on?
Yeah.
Wait, what? You ran outside first?
I mean, I had underwear on, but.
It's like it was 30 degrees this morning. What are you doing? You're going to catch cold.
I'm okay with you forgetting it because once they
cold.
Had to heat it up, it would have been a punishment for me, too.
Oh, it's happening
yeah,
tomorrow.
I was going to say. You know,
I probably won't be here then.
Why is that?
I don't want to smell it.
You better be
I
here.
I didn't have to get punished.
I'm going to just throw the cheese on him. Is that okay? Can I just...
I'm wearing my shrimp sauce jacket.
Infamous.
That'll mask the smell of the cheese.
I've told Hickman that story, but that no one in the world has ever seen shrimp sauce fly through the air like that day at Little Tokyo.
Cut the check.
And then Davey, across the table, looks at me and says, "Oh, bleep." I'm like, "Why are you so mad?" Because I thought it was my jacket. I didn't wear a jacket. It wasn't covered, per se. Yeah, it was pretty covered. It had a lot of shrimp sauce on it. You love shrimp sauce. Besides, it's an aphrodisiac. Women smell that and they think, this is a guy
who knows
how to...
You know there's not actual shrimp in the shrimp sauce.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But, I mean, shrimp sauce is amazing. Like, everyone loves it.
But they should make a whole, like, cologne and perfume line out of it, for sure.
Mm.
It's a bold strategy.
I mean, you could probably start a restaurant where it's the main ingredient.
It's just in everything.
Yeah, it's just like, what are you using to...
The way you eat it, it is the main ingredient.
Shovel the shrimp.
I mean, this guy...
I could drink that
you, I mean, some people have hibachi style with shrimp sauce. You create a shrimp sauce soup.
Yeah, it's kind of a... Yeah, I need a bowl. Can you bring a bowl and the whole bottle of shrimp
but
sauce?
Fill the bowl with the shrimp sauce, and I'll just on one side, piece yeah. and rice at a time.
The bottles they always keep it in. It's pretty cool, too.
The bigger one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the... Mm-hmm.
Well, some places they... And I like places like this. They just throw down the bottle on the table and say, take what you want. There's
they
a few places.
They usually do that after I ask for more for five times.
And then you're like, hey, I need another squeeze bottle. They're like, what? Like, we just filled that. And he's like, yeah, I know. What? There's two people here.
It's good stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
That little sriracha.
Come back with
Delicioso.
More. Three and out.
Baby, I'm hot. Light the prodigal sun. Big a battalini, mini, money, moe, and flower. You're the chosen one.
All phone calls are brought to you on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. G3HelpMe.com is the place to go if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident. Our number to join the show is 865-546-8200. If your loved one has been injured in an accident, though, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve at G3U. Matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's 865-401-8214 or online at G3HelpMe.com. Again, G3HelpMe.com, proud sponsors of the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Up first today, we have Matt. What's up, Matt? You're on three and out.
G3 up in this mug?
Yes, all the way up in the mug.
What is how is it that orange mayonnaise, also known as shrimp sauce, is so delicious but so nasty at the same time?
I tried to make it myself one time, Matt. It was a disaster.
It's a process. You got to have like the white
turning out too well.
White wine rice vinegar or something, and then like a certain amount of sugar. But you got to melt the sugar first. It's
paprika, garlic powder, melted butter. Made it.
Yep. It never tastes the same.
No, it's not the same.
No.
They got to sprinkle the crack in there first.
I make a killer fried rice, but my wife usually just swings by a restaurant and grabs a whole like quart of shrimp sauce.
It's not all the same. Some restaurants have really good shrimp sauce. That's fine.
I'll give you a little tip in case. I tried to make it and I absolutely just destroyed it. It was disgusting.
Siding and Windows is Knoxville's number one choice for all home exterior projects. If you've been putting off replacing old siding, windows, doors, anything on the outside of your house, then now is the perfect time to schedule a free estimate with North Knox Siding and Windows. Need a new roof? North Knox Siding and Windows can handle that too. Don't settle for less. Call the best. North Knox Siding and Windows, 865-689-0505. Online at northknoxsidingandwindows.com.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest.
Final segment, hour number one. Reading these Notre Dame athletic director quotes. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving the benefit of the doubt, but Seemed to be a pretty well-measured dude.
He also said if they name an interim, that person will not be considered for the head coaching job.
I kind of like that.
What if the guy is the interim, they get to the playoff and win the whole thing? I mean, I know that's very unlikely, but.
Marcus Freeman.
Well, that's who a lot of the Notre Dame players want.
I think what he's trying to do is go ahead and just cut that off immediately. Mm-hmm. It's like.
Stop asking me about it.
It's like when you got to tell somebody bad news. You know, like just give it to me as soon as possible.
Can you really do that at Notre Dame? I mean, that's what they did with Rudy. Everyone was like, "We want this guy to play. We want this guy to play. We want this guy to play." And he played, and he got a sack. That's what they want. They want Freeman. They want Freeman. Maybe Freeman is Rudy.
Maybe old Jack knows that, and he's setting it up. Maybe he'll get all the credit if Freeman leads him to a national championship. He'll be like, "Well, you guys talked me into it."
Freeman.
You know what I mean?
Freeman.
Or it's either that or he knows that he doesn't want to promote Freeman at all, and he's just immediately shutting down that line of thinking because he knows he's got a couple guys that, you know, that he wants to go get.
Well, Kelly has offered to make Freeman the highest paid defensive coordinator in the country.
That was the report. But head coach at Notre Dame, highest paid DC. He'll get one of the two.
Well, last time Notre Dame promoted their defense coordinator didn't go well, too. So I think that's part of it. Bob Davey after Lou
Holtz. He's a defensive guy?
Yeah.
So Lou
Holtz had won the national championship a few years after that. He kind of did his first retirement. Bob Davey was the interim. He got the head job. Everybody was mad about it at Notre Dame. And they were okay, but obviously not that good. And he ended up getting fired and going to TV. So there you go. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Roberto up next on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. What's up, Berto? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. I'm in a bad cell, more than likely. Can you hear me okay?
So far, so good.
Yeah. Hello?
So far, so good. Kind of.
I called the shot.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
I think he's just messing with us. Berto's sitting at home under a cell tower, just like
running circles around us.
Yeah.
Yeah, just messing with us.
Tinfoil hat
exactly
off,
right.
On, off, on.
Oh, guys, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. You know, it's ironic. The bad cell is literally in my driveway. Guys, as far as concerned, hiring that guy would be he is well thought of, but he needs to be Luke Fickell's replacement at Cincinnati whenever he leaves. That's what he's earned at this point.
Yeah,
that's what he's earned.
Yeah,
he's earned a really good mid-major job.
Yeah, I agree with that. He may be great, but being at Notre Dame when the other guy leaves doesn't automatically mean you deserve to be Notre Dame's head coach.
Right.
Yeah, unless you're doing an interim situation for a 1 year.
Right, yeah.
You have a whole season, not
a game or two, but, yeah, an entire season type deal.
Yeah. And you're Notre Dame. If you have to do an interim type situation, you're in deeper crap than you think. They shouldn't have – I don't know – it's so funny. I think that Oklahoma and Notre Dame were both caught off guard, you know? We know what that's like. That's no fun to be sitting in a position where you're off guard. I mean, I don't see anybody who really jumps off the page for Oklahoma right now, do you? I mean, Fickell's probably their next hope if it's not Bob Stoops. They're just going to hire Bob Stoops for 2 years, aren't they? And have them transition to the SEC.
Did you guys see it was a message board post, so let me preface with that.
Oh, the conspiracy theory?
Yeah, that Bob Stoops was going to get hammered by the NCAA, and the only way they could avoid that is if he steps down, and that this was always going to be just like a few years with Lincoln Riley, and then at some point Stoops was going to come back and save the day.
I don't buy it.
Oh. It was just, like I said, it was a message board conspiracy. I thought it was interesting.
I mean, I'm a coincidence enthusiast myself in general, but that's beyond the pale.
Fair enough. I just like, black helicopters and
grassy
knolls, things like that.
Huge conspiracy guy here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I make T-Carp look like a normie. Guys, When it comes to Tennessee football, though, can I just get out something that's really ticking me off?
Yes.
All these people that are like, Josh Heupel needs a new five-year deal for $7 million. I love Josh Heupel. Hey, I was out. I was as far out as just about anybody, and now I'm in. But we do not need to be paying him He hasn't earned $7 million for a seven-win season, gentlemen. If he had a 10-win season, you have that conversation.
I'd agree with that. He'll probably get something, right? He'll probably get some little raise and maybe an extension,
like
more money.
Bump, like a half million and more for the staff and maybe 2 years or something extra.
Right.
Do you agree with all that? I agree with all that. Are you okay with that, to $5 million?
There's no need to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do
I wouldn't do it.
I guess the only thing is if Oklahoma or somebody did call and say, hey, you know, we're going to offer you this, and Danny White said, well, what would you stay for? And he said, just $500,000 a year. I mean, if we get a bowl ban, I guess we're not self-imposing, but if we get that later, he gets an extra year on his deal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not adding any more years to his contract right now.
Isn't it only 4 or is it 5?
I think it's a 5-year deal.
5, and then it goes to 6 with a bowl ban?
Sure, but yeah, there's no point in adding more time to that.
Just wait till next year. Give him a nice little extension next year if he has a good season.
Yeah. Well, guys, that transfer portal is looking more inviting every morning, isn't it? Every day I wake up, there's another player at a position of need for us.
Yesterday was crazy. It was every 5 minutes. It was like, former 4-star, da-da-da, has entered the portal. Former 5-star has entered the portal.
Kentucky had a 4-star linebacker enter today, I think.
Oh, did they really?
This morning. Yeah. Mm. I'll take Kentucky scrubs on defense. They're pretty good. Mm. You know? I'm really happy that we're not involved with it. Pretty much not involved with this. The only thing that Tennessee needs to worry about, you guys, specifically, I believe it was Nate. I said early in the season we need to go ahead and lock down Banks and Gardner, and you guys said, oh, it's too early, it's whatever. Now that we're at this point, do we need to lock down Banks and Gardner? Because Banks is way up there on Duke's list. I know that personally from somebody in their program.
Well, I mean, if he's wanting to be a head coach, then there's no point in
DC. Yeah, there's nothing you're going to be able to do.
Brent
compete
Venables
with Duke.
Called and said you guys might be wrong about that.
I mean, if you're saying to like make him a multi-million dollar coordinator, then that's just ludicrous.
He's already a single $1 million coordinator. So what's the difference in making him a $2 million coordinator and a $1 million coordinator?
He's just throwing money in the trash, but if you want to do it, go for it.
Well, but the thing is, you're probably not going to fire him.
You're throwing money in the trash. Explain that to me, Davey.
If you're hold on, let me move the break real quick because I'm going to do this. If you're wanting to keep a guy who's been to D.C. here for 1 year, make him a multi-million dollar coordinator – for a reason in which, are you just saying to do it to possibly get more of a buyout later on?
Like, if he wants to be a head coach, he's going to leave no matter what, I think is what Davey's trying to say. Like, you're not going to be able to pay him so much that he stays a coordinator here over going to be a head coach at Duke. Because Duke's going to pay more to be the head coach than you'll ever pay him to be a coordinator. Right? I mean,
I don't know.
So
probably. You are probably right. Yes. I mean, what was Cut making? Cut was only making like 3.
Yeah, so they probably they're
the
gonna
most
pay
tenured guy in the ACC.
I mean, they'll probably pay the new guy at least 3.5. Doesn't matter who.
So that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just is.
That's a shame.
Okay, I got the break set up. All right, so
hey guys, thanks for the time. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Roberto.
Thanks for the call.
Go ahead, Dave.
I finally got the break set up. So the idea of extending him, I mean, you look at the numbers, like I thought he did a decent job, but against quality competition, like I need to see these guys recruit long term. Because that's a huge part of the college game. We're not there yet, and you can say, well, we have these issues looming over, so it's like, okay, then is anyone, I made the same comment when we did it for Jeremy Pruitt, like, we need to give this guy a raise and extension. It's like, who's coming to get him? Who's coming to take Rodney Garner? I get he's a proven commodity in this league, and so I think people, like, if someone's like, "Yeah, we're about to hire Rodney away,"
Well, Rodney, if I had to pick a position group that overachieved the most, it would probably be Rodney Garner's guys on the defensive line. I mean, A, he didn't even use the guys you thought would be the guys, and they still, you know, produced. The whole defense was better than we expected, but that's because we expected it to be maybe the worst defense in the history of the program.
Yeah,
Tim Banks did a good job.
I agree.
But I don't but I'm not like he's not irreplaceable, I guess. Or if he is, we don't know that yet. You know, let's get him some more talent, see what he can do in year two.
I guess my thing is, if you're worried about him leaving to be a coordinator somewhere else, yes, then maybe you match that money just for stability, you know, and things like that. But if he wants to be a head coach, I'm with you. I don't think you can pay him enough to keep him. Now, I'm also not saying, hey, he's making – what's he making here, like 800-something? Or is he over one? Is he at one?
I didn't think he was at one.
Berto said he was at one.
Well, let's say someone offers him like 1.3 to go – like Virginia Tech just hired the guy he worked with at Penn State.
Okay,
If Virginia Tech says, we're going to give you 1.3, would it be worth it for Tennessee to say, okay, we'll give you 1.4?
Maybe.
And obviously you don't want to keep escalating that number to the point where you're paying him $2 million to keep a first-year defensive coordinator. But if you raise his salary, the odds of him being the one that gets fired, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but is he more likely to take another job in the next 3 years or get fired in the next 3 years? So if you raise his money at that point, you would get that buyout back, the bigger buyout back. Whenever he's whenever he decides to
this
leave.
This says it makes 1.3 right now.
Yeah, they said next year it'll be 1.4.
Okay, well, so he's kind of he's already getting the raise. Yeah,
I mean he's already fifth in the SEC amongst defensive coordinators. I mean that's pretty good.
That's really good for a first time full time defensive coordinator.
Yeah. So I mean
so yeah at that point yeah in that case if he wants to be a head coach there's really not much you can do.
Yeah, you wish him well and say hey. If you do a good job here, you can become a head coach, and you hire the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just, you know.
But I all that to say, we don't know what he's being offered and what he wants to do. I do think Tim Banks has done a good job. I think he's done a really good job with what he's had. Well, like the cupboard was bare.
I don't know. I definitely feel like Oklahoma probably got caught off guard. It doesn't sound like Notre Dame was caught off guard.
I think the timing specifically for Notre Dame was them caught off guard. I don't necessarily think that they didn't expect this to happen maybe at the end of the season.
Well, at least their season's over. Like Oklahoma could have won the game and then played in the championship game. I mean Notre Dame's regular season was over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like but they're not playing until the bowl game no matter what.
Or so potentially the playoff, which is kind of weird still.
But that's still the normal time when coaching changes happen. Like Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley was out the door and still could have been in a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really, really odd. So that's a little more off guard. I had a lot of time to think about it yesterday, Houston.
Did you?
And I've changed my stance on fit and who Notre Dame needs to target. I know who they should get. He'd take the job. I'll tell you who it is next.